Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it, as always. 251-343-0106. That is the Ascension Technologies text line. So to come on the program in about an hour from now, State Senator Chris Elliott. So you'll stick around for that, as we do every Friday. Our returning champion. But joining us now is predecessor in the Alabama Senate, but you may have heard of our regular Dick Brubaker, mentioned him yesterday on the program. State Senator Tripp Pittman, or former State Senator Tripp Pittman, joining us now. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning and good Friday to you and your listeners, Jeff.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You're very kind to say that. Why don't I get you on here? How much you're keeping up with what's going on in Montgomery right now? We're 3 weeks, 4 weeks almost into the session here. But number one, all of these weird sort of nanny state bills the legislature is looking at. And number two, we got economic incentive renewal seems to be what is going to be the marquee event next week. And it just seems very peculiar for a Republican supermajority to put such a focus on those things.
Well, there's a lot of, a lot of the bills are redundant. I mean, you try to make more laws, but, really we don't do a very good job of enforcing the laws we already have or enforcing them equally. But that's kind of what you can get done. And then as far as incentives, I personally wish there were none. Last time this stuff passed, I was in office. I was one of the budget chairmen, and, I did everything I could to rein it in and to try to limit it to make sure that it was had a cap in terms of how much money that you were able to give an incentive so that you could make sure they chose the best projects and didn't just give them to everybody, and that you also had to wean people off the project like you wean a baby and have an ending to them. Otherwise, you can perpetually leave people on the dole. And at some point, it needs to end. I don't get any incentives in my business. Most of the existing businesses in the state don't get any incentives, yet we have to compete for labor with these companies that are incentivized. It's a contradiction, a walking contradiction, as the song says.
Well, what is the, is it just this ability to centrally plan and have such a say in the economic decisions? Because the way this is being approached, just me as a casual observer, spending time around the state house and in different places of the state, this seems to be like the most important thing to a lot of these guys in the legislature, is getting these incentives renewed. Is it just a control? What is the lure here?
BCA. Can you say that? BCA, power company, the different groups that are, we had campaign finance reform, but what we've done is created, limited a lot of money. Some of it was good, like, pack to pack, but then we also created opportunities for several donors to be very large donors to individual members. It's not what you do sometimes, it's what you don't do. In this case, though, the incentives are important, and you ask why, in terms of, people that own real estate, people that sell real estate, the accountants, the lawyers, all the power companies, all the people that get involved in, one of these projects that comes in are, benefit from it. And I think they're, going back to Mercedes, which was turns out a pretty good project, there's some need for incentives, but they should be, very limited, targeted, or not at all in an ideal world. But if you're going to have other states to do it, you ought to have some, but they ought to be finite. They ought to sunset, and there ought to be, accounting and transparency. I'm glad to see there's a transparency bill. I don't know how transparent it'll be, but there needs to be the light of day on what we're giving away, to who and how much.
Well, what is the BCA's play here? They obviously maybe more membership. It just seems like the thing to go all in on and look at the existing businesses here in Alabama, Senator. You're talking about having to compete for causing the price of labor to go up. Well, a lot of these existing BCA members are going to have that same impact, right?
yeah, that Joe gets. I mean, there's a lot of rank and file members, but, you know, they're obviously part of the citizen. You know, you have the chamber crowd, the chamber of commerce crowd. You have people that see that, that blur that, you know, relationship between government. You know, the mixed economy, people call us, you know, free enterprise, which we have a lot of. And then we also, but we're a fascist economy in a lot of ways because you blend the marriage between government, you know, in the private sector, and the government picks winners and losers. And you have authorities, and you have, you know, different creations like the power companies and these various other oligarchs, educational institutions that really don't have any checks or balances. You know, health insurance companies. And these people are all trying to figure out how it enhances their lives, not necessarily the average individual. There's some residuals. There's some benefits, you know, the rising tide theory, which can work. But I think that's in the broader macro economy, and that, you know, doing good things like a good environment with reasonable tort, which we still have some of in Alabama. You need low taxes. You need good power supplies. You need low property taxes. You need good infrastructure. Those are the kind of things that you need to have a level playing field. And then you let, you know, businesses decide where they want to locate, and don't get in there and pay them to pay to play.
Well, we had Danny Garrett on. He's now the ETF chairman in the House. We're talking about this. Like, well, what is the ideal taxation? Because I look at it, and where's the place a lot of businesses want to go right now? It's Florida. It's Texas. But what can Alabama do to be more like them? But they can't. I mean, it's not like you could just eliminate the income tax. We have a completely different tax structure than a lot of states. Is that the best possible scenario for our economy? Is this this legacy tax structure from the 19th and 20th century that we have?
Well, you know, of course, the other thing, right to work, is very important. You know, that's what we have in the South. You know, a good work ethic, been hurt further by COVID. But the no, I mean, obviously, you've got the going back to the property taxes, and those are extremely, extremely low. I mean, again, you don't own your land. The communists took everybody's property. They didn't have a tax base. We let you rent it. If you don't believe it, then, you know, don't pay your taxes. So, you know, there is you should have low taxes. That's a debate, you know, about should all, you know, how much tax should be low. Big property owners, should there be a cap on how many acres you can have under current use or the LID law? Again, if everything's going to be equal, then the answer should be yes. Everybody ought to be treated the same. But again, the you know, no income tax in Florida. I know that Senator Roberts, Dan Roberts, is working on trying to lower the Alabama income tax. I think that's part of the debate now, as well as, you know, removing the tax on groceries, looking at other taxes. I mean, the reality is the only way to limit government is to limit the amount of money they have to spend. They're going to spend it all. And the people in the centers of government, whether it be Montgomery or Washington or the courthouse, they want to be able to decide how that money gets spent. And the people that support them want to decide how it gets spent. The average person just wants to be left alone and figure out how to go out and take care of themselves and their families. So, yeah, there's better ways to do it, but you are where you are. And so I think over time we're making those changes. There were a couple of bills passed yesterday that lowered some of the, I think, added some tax credits or removed some taxation on certain amounts of income. I think that's good. I was always hesitant to remove the tax on groceries when I was in the office because we didn't have any revenue. I mean, we had to cut the budget $1 billion the first year I was in office. Had to tell a lot of people no and had to cut existing programs, which is really tough. And I think that we need to start looking at better ways to do it with the overall environment, like taxes, making sure that we have a favorable for the workforce, that we're favorable toward, and do away with the individual incentives that pick winners and losers. And because of the way the income tax credit works with the state income tax, you know, an employer that's has a program can pay $21 at the same cost that I pay $20. I mean, they actually have an advantage to pay people. And I'm looking at I sent you these reports again on the Jobs Act and the Grow Alabama Act, you know, and they've talked about how the average hourly wage is like set $27 an hour now, as opposed to $17 for the people that don't get these programs. Well, you know, nowadays with this inflation, we just had major raises for our employees. So, you know, again, I think that there needs some incentives. You can argue that it's there, but there's definitely, you know, unlimited. You got to have caps. You have to sunset it. You know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars. We allow $350 million a year in tax credits to be given out by Commerce. $350 million of tax credits. If you do that over 5 years, you know, that's over $1 billion. To me, that's plenty of money. And the idea that you need more is, you know, I would say you probably need to go the other way.
You mentioned proration, how the states avoided proration in recent years, and this is, but the one thing, the one positive, if you had to say it was a positive coming out of proration, is it forced you to take that critical look at what the state's spending money on, and since the state has avoided proration, they haven't had to look for places to cut. So you have a fiscally responsible Alabama legislature, which is a positive, I would say, but it's just there's so much growth of government with the supermajority, you haven't had any kind of a reduction mechanism in place. And what do you do? We're just growing government still, but we're doing it in a responsible manner. Is it that much better? Is it?
No, it was better when we did the rolling reserve, which I helped sponsor, when we looked at, you know, revenue measures to try to enhance government. We've also been blessed that we have a good environment and we have growth, and so income's coming up. But your point is, you have a good point. By not facing those shortfalls, you know, we have allowed ourselves to not manage. So it's very difficult to manage government because of all the federal rules, the regs, all the money that's tied to these federal rules and regs that we draw down. You know, like Medicaid, for example, it's $4 per dollar, but it's really $8 or $9 when we manipulate and game the system. But I think it's a legitimate argument that we have too much money. You know, I was reading an article the other day, and when I was education budget chairman, we had a $5.8 billion budget that we had cut from like 6.5. And my allocation of non-education expenditures was $150 million, and that was being criticized. You know, now we have a supplemental appropriation of over $2 billion. That's there, and there's plenty of need out there. You know, there's always plenty of need at the end of the month when the money runs out. So I think the best thing to do is to do some tax cuts, whatever that is, just to limit the amount of money, because when you have money, everybody wants it, and you make decisions that are not the best. You know, they said it's harder to be a budget chairman when you have a lot of money. Well, there's definitely a lot more people that want it, and the incentive is everybody wants to. A lot of people want to go spend it. I know Representative Garrett, conservative. I know Senator Orr is. These aren't their bills. This is the governor and all of her supporters and people that want access to this money. And there's a lot of need out there. But just because you need it doesn't mean you absolutely have to have it.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of peculiar things. The water park has gotten a lot of people kind of bent out of sorts. And then there's money to the airport transition, and then some World Game money, and then the $100 million for the prisons. I mean, I don't know. Bill Poole, his fingerprints are all over it, and he is a respectable, a very, very respected guy. But that's problematic, what she's wanting to do, right?
Well, again, Bill and I served. He was a education chairman in the House when I was education chairman in the Senate. Have a lot of respect for Bill and friends. But again, he's got a job as finance director, works at the pleasure of the governor, and you know, there's these requests coming down, and he's, I'm sure, trying to balance it. And again, you do these things like the World Games, and you know, should we have done it? You know, the state's putting up $5 million, the county's putting up money, the city's putting up money. Was it really, you know, a good decision? But looking at these information I sent you on that job act and the Grow Alabama, when you look at the amount of extra money it generates, you know, is it really worth the hundreds of millions of dollars we're spending? One of the real issues are these sites. You know, we had a mega site in Baldwin County that we bought 20 years ago and paid top dollar for, and just recently have a large prospect that's coming in. You know, obviously time will tell. All these things don't work out. They don't work out long term. You need to make sure you always have good clawback provisions. But yes, I think that you know, the system and the amount of money, and that's why you need caps, you need limits. That's why it is good to have lean budgets, so that you have to make tough choices. and spend the taxpayer money, it'll be thrifty.
But this system we have in place right now, the they want to do with the incentives, I mean, in theory, the incentives are supposed to be like a one-time thing, just to be the spark that ignites the fire. But now it's a way of life, and we're told, well, everybody does it, so we got to do it. It just strikes me as something we don't necessarily need to do over and over and over and over again, right?
Well, and some of these people, how long have they been on the incentives? You know, it's the baby has to be weaned. How long have some of these companies been on the incentives? And the question I have is if they're trying to increase the incentives, should be rolling off of companies after 3 or 5 years. Their incentives ought to go away, or they ought to maybe get new incentives for an enhanced project or an expansion. But yeah, these things should end. At some point, a company that gets incentives should not continue to get incentives, even though, listen, our tax code, you know, we have, billions and billions of dollars of different credits that are part of our tax code, that are part of the deductions. That's part of government creating. That's why we have such large federal tax codes. The state mirrors the federal. Why there's so many different ways to, that's the biggest, is how to avoid taxes and not evade taxes is one of the number one hobbies in our country. And that's the challenge. But again, I think they ought to be temporary. If you have them, I would wish there were none. There needs to be some tools there that you can use, quote, the game plan, so to speak. I love how we equate everything in the sport. But that's a good strategy. But they should end. These companies should go away, and they should be able to stand on their own 2 feet and feed themselves. And I think what we do when we grow this is there's the tendency is to say, well, this company needs we want to continue these incentives for these existing companies, and then that's why we need to expand it so we'll have some available for the new companies. And then once somebody gets it, and once the lawyers figure out how to get it, they go to other clients and they represent them, and there's lobbyists and advocates that sit there and represent them, and they make sure that they get the money. There was a big pool of money that just came to the ag and industries for a meatpacking plant.
Right.
So somebody down here at Baldwin County wanted to put in a plant. So they asked me to call up there and see what the process was. It was like $15 million, and I talked to a gentleman that I knew that wasn't directly related. He said, well, this is who you need to contact. This is what you need to do, but it's probably going to be months before, this money gets allocated. I was a little skeptical, but I gave the information to the person here that had talked to me, and they called up and they'd been informed it was already gone. I mean, they're different. It's kind of like Animal House. All animals are created equal, but some animals are created more equal than others.
Right.
I mean, the reason that people have certain lobbyists and they're affiliated with these different groups is that they help set them up to be, in the food line to, in the military, when I was in the military, the officers ate last. In politics, the people that eat first are the ones that are the most politically involved. And that's
so true now.
The way it is. It's making sausage. So, I would hope that they will, hopefully they'll be judicious with it. They will keep a cap. It will be a sunset. They will not, they will have an overall cap,
right,
annual caps, and more transparency. I think you got to be careful with these mega sites. That's what I was saying in Baldwin County, where we bought all this land, and we borrowed more money to put in the infrastructure, build it, and they will come. I mean, that may work in a, field of dreams.
Right, right.
Not necessarily like that in economic development.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're way long, but I thank you for making time today, and hopefully we can get you on again really soon.
All right, well, everybody have a blessed Easter. To the grace of God, we have our salvation. Take care, Jeff.
Thank you. Former State Senator Trip Pittman there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.